Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith for Life broadcast. I'm Matthew Alaria. Let's have a word of prayer and then we're going to get right into the teaching today. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your word. Lord, we love your word. We ask you today for revelation of it. We ask you today for grace and help to receive it, to put it into practice, and to see it work in our lives. And Lord, I release my faith today over everybody watching the broadcast. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them answers to questions and solutions to problems, grace, provision, and help, and even a supply of the Spirit for what they're facing in their lives right now. I thank you for ministering to them through this broadcast in a great and in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a few episodes back on the broadcast, we started a series that we're calling Thy Word is Truth. And in this series, we are discovering some very important and powerful truths about how things work in this life, in your life, and in the kingdom of God. And friend, it's been really good so far. If you've missed any of the episodes, make sure you go back to mam.tv. You can go back to YouTube or Facebook and catch up with us because the Lord has really been helping us in this teaching. Well, let's go back over to John 17:17. And look at our foundation text there again, John 17:17. Jesus said there, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so we established on the first teaching that if God says something, that's the way it is. What he says is sure. What he says is certain. What he says is law. And what that means is that it's been tested, proven true, and established. And so from that, we begin to discuss spiritual law. And spiritual law is a statement by God that a particular thing will always happen if certain conditions are present. And so when God said, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, well, that's spiritual law. That is sure, that is certain, that is established, and that will work for anybody, anywhere, anytime. If they put it to work and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then the things they need will be added to them. And so what God has done in the earth is he has established and released spiritual law. He's released it into this realm. And so this realm is governed by what God said. That's what governs this realm. What he said governs this realm. And now spiritual law is out here. It's working right now. Deuteronomy 30 talked about how, we're talking about God's command. He said, you don't need somebody to go to heaven and get it for you. You don't need somebody to go across the sea and get it for you. It's near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth that you may do it. And so spiritual law is sitting before all men right now. And spiritual law is working right now. Matthew 6:33 is working right now, and anybody who will get involved in it will see it work in their favor. If they seek first the kingdom, they'll see God take care of the things that concerns them. And so spiritual law is working all the time, and we can't change spiritual law, but we can change which side of spiritual law that you and I live on. And we want to live on the side of spiritual law that's going to produce life and blessing and good and victory in our lives. And one thing that we touched on and we've been touching on in this series is that we are, from these scriptures and these things we're learning in this series, we are destroying this belief or this idea that God is controlling everything that's happening to everybody. Deuteronomy 30 really destroys that thought because God said, I've set before you life and death, good and evil, blessing and cursing. And then he told them, you choose. And so they could choose to follow God, to love Him, to trust Him, to obey Him. And if they did that, then they were going to experience the life and the good and the blessing. If they didn't and turned away from Him, served other gods, and didn't listen to Him, they were going to experience death, evil, and the curse. But God wasn't the one that was going to determine what they experienced. They were. And largely what people are experiencing in their lives is due to the laws that they've set in motion in their lives. Found out last time on the broadcast, there's laws that govern life. There's laws that govern death. There's things that you and I can do that will tend to life, tend to blessing, tend to us enjoying and experiencing good and victory in our lives. And there's some other things we can do that will yield and produce death and destruction in our lives. But God is not controlling that. That's our choice, what laws we get involved in and what laws we set into motion in our lives. That's our choice. We get to choose that. And we found out in Proverbs chapter 1 last time that we will eat the fruit of our own ways, that we are going to eat the results of the laws that we set into motion. And so we want to learn about spiritual laws, and then we want to get on the right side of those laws so that we can experience the good and the prosperity that God wants us to experience in our lives. Praise the Lord. Now today on the broadcast, praise the Lord, got a lot of good notes here. I want to go to Malachi chapter 1. We'll look at that in just a minute. Malachi chapter 1. But I want to deal with this truth and this reality that anything in your life that you want to enjoy, whether it be God's provision, God's protection, you want to enjoy healing for your body, peace for your mind, you want to grow in your relationship with God, and you want to be used by God in a mighty way, whatever it is that you want to enjoy in your life, you have to get involved in the laws that will produce the thing that you want to enjoy. If somebody came to me and said, "Matt, I really want to lose some weight, and you know you're in such great shape that I thought I'd come to you." they said, "I want to lose weight and get in better shape," and I said, "Okay, well, we need to find out how many calories that you burn in a day, and we need to make sure that you're in a calorie deficit every day. And we're going to make sure that you get 30 minutes of exercise 6 days a week. We're going to get you some walking and get you some lifting some weights and stuff like that. And then we're going to watch what your diet, what you eat, and how much you eat. And we're probably going to have to cut out, you know, some of the things that you're eating." And they look to me and go, "Well, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to lose the weight." Well, we seem to be at an impasse. Because if you don't want to get involved in the laws that govern weight loss, you aren't going to lose weight. And I'm not a health expert or a person that is an expert in these things, but I have learned that the way to lose weight and body fat is you have to get into a calorie deficit, which means you have to burn more calories than you are eating. And if you do that over an extended period of time, you'll start to lose weight and body fat and things like that. These are just natural laws that govern weight loss. But if you don't want to get involved in laws that govern the weight loss, then you're never going to enjoy losing of the weight because you won't. And so these things are true also spiritually. If you want to enjoy God's peace in your life, well, there are laws that govern peace. Let me just give you some laws that govern peace and principles of peace that you'll have to get involved in if you want to enjoy God's peace. You know, what you think on is going to affect your peace level. We found that out in Romans 8:6. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. The Lord said this in Isaiah 26:3. He said, "Those that keep their mind stayed on me, I'll keep them in perfect peace." And so if you just sit there and think on the wrong stuff all day, it's going to affect your peace. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." And so another law or principle that governs peace is that peace is a choice. You can choose to, you have to choose to walk in God's peace, and you have to resist enemies of peace. You have to stand against fear, anxiety, depression. You have to say, "No, I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be worried. 1 Peter 5, 7 said, cast your cares on the Lord. And so when you do have opportunities to worry or be upset about something, you have to cast your care on the Lord if you're going to walk in peace. And so there are things like this, and we don't have to go through all of them, but there are things revealed to us in Scripture, laws that govern peace. And so you can want to walk in God's peace, but if you're going to feed on the wrong stuff, think on the wrong things, carry your cares instead of casting your cares, and when you do have an opportunity to worry, you're just going to crumble under the pressure of it, not resist it, and just let your heart be troubled. Well, if that's how you're going to live, then you won't enjoy the peace of God in your life. You know, there are laws that govern provision. I won't list all of them to you, but we got to seek first the kingdom of God. We got to refuse to worry. We got to trust God. We got to put God's things first ahead of ours. Those are laws that govern God's provision in your life. And if you want to see God, you know, if somebody said, Matt, you know, we're struggling financially and we just can't seem to get ahead. And you're such an expert in these things. I'm kidding, of course. But they said, you know, we thought maybe you could help us. And I said, okay, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to make sure you're seeking first God with your finances. So let's take 10% off the top right now. And we're just going to tithe that. And then, you know, I'm going to give you some scriptures here that are going to help feed your faith and help you trust God. And then here's something very important. When the opportunity to worry comes, you have to refuse to worry. And if they looked at me and go, well, you know, we just can't afford to tithe right now. And, you know, we're just kind of worriers. That's just kind of what we do. And we'll try to trust God, but I don't know if we can. Well, they won't enjoy God's provision in their life because they're refusing to get involved in the laws that would produce it in their life. And so whatever you want to enjoy in your life, and we could go through hundreds of them, but whatever you want to enjoy in your life, you have to discover the laws that will produce that thing, and then you got to get involved in releasing those laws into motion in your life. And if you do, then you can enjoy the thing that you want to enjoy. But if you violate the laws that govern a thing, then you won't enjoy it in your life. Violate the laws that govern weight loss, you won't lose weight. Violate the laws that govern God's provision in your life, you won't enjoy His provision. Violate the laws that govern peace, His peace in your life, and you won't enjoy His peace. And so what you have happening is you have many people who want to, who desire a result that is contrary to laws they have in motion. I need to say that to you again. Praise God. Many people desire a result in their lives that is contrary to laws that they have in motion. And so you got people that are desiring to see God's provision in their life, but they're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You got people who are desiring to walk in God's peace in their life, but they sit there and feed on junk all day and night, think on the wrong thoughts. And so if you want to see a result in your life, if you want to enjoy something again, you got to get working, you got to get these laws that produce it working in your life. And that's the only way that you're going to enjoy it. Now in Malachi chapter 1, we actually see this. We won't read the whole chapter. We won't have time to do that today. But in Malachi chapter 1, the priest, God's priest, when it was time to bring God an offering, they were bringing what the scripture called polluted bread. They were bringing the lame, the blind, these bad sacrifices, you could call them. They were supposed to be sacrificing animals to the Lord as offerings. But when they went to get an animal, they would bring sick ones, some ones that had something wrong with it, maybe ones that were about ready to die anyway. And so they were bringing bad offerings. And the reason they were bringing bad offerings is because they said that bringing God an offering was a weariness. They didn't even want to do it. They were fed up with having to do these offerings, and they didn't want to do it. And so they were bringing God bad offerings. And what you see in this is a lack of honor for God. I believe in Malachi 1, it actually says, you priests that despise my name. The word despise there is dealing with to lightly esteem or to dishonor. And so they are not honoring God. They have no honor for Him, no reverence, no respect. Now, in Malachi 1:9 in the Living Bible, I want you to listen to what they were praying to God. God, have mercy on us, you recite. God, be gracious to us. But when you bring that kind of gift, why should He show you any favor at all? And so in the middle of just completely dishonoring God, they weren't bringing the good offerings, they were bringing the bad offerings, because to them, God's table, God's offering, God's temple, God's stuff, it had no value in their lives. It wasn't even worth their time. They said, what a weariness this is. We had to bring these offerings again. Oh, I don't care. Just go bring something that's about to die. They're treating God's things with no respect, like they're not important at all. And then when they got home from doing it, I'm getting stirred up. They prayed, God bless us. God be gracious to us. Now, what's wrong with that? They are desiring a result that is contrary to a law they put in motion. They want God to honor them without them honoring Him. Well, that's not how it works. Because God's word is truth. What He says is certain, sure, and established. And He said this in 1 Samuel 2:30. He said, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, did you hear that? They that honor me, I'll honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That right there, that is the law of honor. And if you want God to honor you, it will not happen while you dishonor Him. It won't. You can fuss about it. You can argue about it. You know, people go, that's the Old Testament. That is spiritual law. And you can't change it. And it's saying the same thing as Matthew 6:33 is, because the reason you would seek first God and His kingdom is you have some honor for Him. And Matthew 6:33, which is in the New Testament, it's red words. It's Jesus' words. And so I hope you don't want to throw those out. He said, if you seek first my kingdom and honor me, honor God, then you'll see Him honor you by taking care of your things. And so this right here is the law of honor. And if you don't honor God, He won't honor you. It is established, it is certain, it is sure. Somebody goes, well, I don't know why God wouldn't honor me anyway. It's not the way it works. You can cry about it if you want to. Your tears are not going to change it. This is an established truth. And this is what many people are doing. They're doing what those people in Malachi were doing. They want a result contrary to laws they have in motion. And it doesn't work like that. And what's going on is many people have been taught that prayer are just asking God to do stuff. That's how stuff gets done in your life. That you just ask God to do it and He just does it. And that's the way that you see what you want to see happen in your life. You just ask and God and He just does it and that's it. And friend, that is a gross misunderstanding of how spiritual things actually work. And it's a gross misunderstanding of how spiritual law works. Jesus did not say in Matthew 6:33, ask God to meet your needs and He will. That's not what He said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then you'll see your needs being met. 1 Samuel 2:30, God did not say, I will honor those who ask me to honor them. That's not what it said. It said, I will honor those that honor me. And so prayer, I hope you're listening, friend. Prayer, well, we're running out of time. Prayer won't override spiritual laws that you have in motion. It won't do it. In Malachi chapter 1, they got a law of dishonor in motion. And so just asking God to bless them and be gracious to them, that's not going to override the law of dishonor they have in motion. And so the answer for them in Malachi chapter 1 came to them in chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord said this to him. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now somebody said, well, I just don't understand why they were cursed. Why didn't God just bless them? They have a law in motion to be cursed. Those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. That's a law in motion. They'll be cursed. They'll be lightly esteemed. That law is in motion. And so God said, this is why, that's why you're cursed, But look what he said in verse 10. He said this, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive." Did you notice God didn't say, "You know, the problem, guys, is you just need to ask me to bless you and I will." No, because in this instance, prayer, and I'm not disrespecting prayer, friend. I hope you're hearing me right. But prayer was not the answer for them. The answer for them is, you need to start honoring me, and if you do that, you'll have the right law in motion, and I'll start honoring you. But you can pray until the cows come home for me to honor you and bless you and be gracious to you, but as long as you're dishonoring God, He will not honor you, and all the prayer in the world is not going to change that. You got to change the law, and you got to change the side of the law that you're living on. And so many are trying to use this so-called prayer, ask God to do something. They're trying to use so-called prayer as a way around spiritual law. Well, I could just not do what God says and then just ask Him to do what I want. Wouldn't that be easier? Certainly it'd be easier, but it doesn't work. And you need something that works. And so you can't pray and get a result contrary to laws that you have in motion. That does not work. And see, many Christians, all they know to do is just beg God. Just beg God to do something. Just beg Him to do it. Just ask. Well, nothing's happening. Well, I guess God just doesn't want to do it. Well, maybe you're asking God to do something that is in 180 degree the opposite direction of laws that you have in motion. And so maybe it's not that you're asking and God just not doing it because He doesn't want to do it. Maybe you're asking God to do something that's in opposition with a law that you have in motion. Maybe you're not seeking first the kingdom and you're asking God to meet your needs. Well, your prayer is not going to override the spiritual law. Praise God. How much time do we got left? Not much. Many ignore what God told them to do and then just try to pray things in. In other words, I'm not going to pay attention to anything God said about seeking first His kingdom. That seems like a lot of work. And I'd rather be first anyway. And so I'm not going to pay attention to that, but I'm just going to pray and ask God to meet my needs. And many people are doing this. They're ignoring what God told them to do and just trying to pray stuff in. I want you to listen to a verse in Proverbs 28:9. It says this, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law." Now that's talking about the actual law, the Old Testament law. But he that turns his ear away, turns away his ear from hearing the law, listen to this, "even his prayer shall be an abomination to the Lord." What did it say? The person that doesn't want to listen to what God says, but is obviously still praying to God. And the Scripture said that kind of prayer, God abhors it. He does not like it. A lot of people are like, well, God will take any kind of prayer. Not according to that verse. There's some kind of prayer that He's not going to take. Jesus said this in John 15:7. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask and then you can see stuff happen. But see, what's happening is many people don't have any time for the Bible. They don't care to read, to learn, to understand. They can't even be bothered to go to church on Sunday mornings and be taught what the Word says. They don't want any part of that. And then after they get done doing that, they want to go to God and say, "God, well, would you bless me? Protect me and my family. Provide for us. Help us. Bless us." And they have laws in motion that are contrary to what they desire to see. And so then they go try to pray to God when they totally ignored everything He said. And Jesus is saying in John 15:7, that's not how it works. These words have to abide in you. And then you go pray. And Proverbs 28 was so strong, it said people that pray like that, it's actually an abomination to the Lord to ignore what He says and then pray and ask Him to do something. God doesn't like it. And so we don't want to, we'll pick it up here next time, but we don't want to try to, if you want a result in your life, how do we start today's broadcast? Any result that you want in your life, you got to get involved in the laws that are going to produce that kind of result. And to think that you can just ignore spiritual law, you can just ignore the laws that govern peace, and then pray for, and then pray to have some. Friend, it does not work like that. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, Romans 8 said, if you're carnally minded, it's death. If you're spiritually minded, it'll be life and peace to you. Philippians 4 said, fix your mind on these things, things that are pure, lovely, just, good, honest, and a good report. If you're going to ignore all that and think that you're going to pray to God and enjoy His peace, you are wildly mistaken. And it shows a gross misunderstanding of how these spiritual things work. And so that's all the time we have for today. I'm actually going to continue right where we left off next week on the broadcast, because there's some more things we need to get into about this, and it's really going to help you. But let's pray. Father, we do thank You today for Your Word. And Lord, we don't want to ignore You and then try to pray and get You to do something in our lives. That's not our hearts. No, Lord, we're asking You for wisdom of how spiritual things work and wisdom of the spiritual laws that we need to put into motion in our lives so that we can enjoy the things that we want to enjoy. And help us to understand spiritual law. Give us wisdom and understanding in it so that we can live on the right side of it and not only just get the results that we desire in our lives, but so that we can get the results that You desire for us to have in our lives. And Father, we do thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, thank you so much for watching today's broadcast. Now, hey, we got one more teaching left in this series that we're calling Thy Word is Truth. And friend, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this last one. We're going to pick it up right where we left off, and it's going to be good. We'll see you then.
Thank you for watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Go to mam.tv to download the free study notes from today's broadcast. You can also request your free copy of our mini book, Faith Declarations. In this book, you'll find declarations from the Word of God that will feed your faith and help you experience victory in your life. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Today's broadcast was made possible by the partners of Matthew Alaria Ministries and the members of North Smoke Church. Go to mam.tv to become a partner today and help us take the message of faith to this generation.